So we continue in worship. We have the opportunity to pray and to read upon the scriptures and to proclaim the scriptures. We're taking it way back now. We're doing starting from the beginning. Genesis 1:1. Taking it way back. All right. Genesis. It doesn't even have to scroll. Like, that's pretty crazy, right? It's just there. All right, let us read this scripture. It's kind of long, so stay with me. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void. Formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together and one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters we were gathered together, and he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees, and of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it," and it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for in years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the dome, the great sea monsters of every living creature that moves, of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and it was morning the fifth day. You still with me? God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground, gross of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing gross that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "Let see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the air and to every thing that creeps on the earth, gross, everything that has breath, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Whew! This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Now I gotta preach. Goodness. This morning we're talking about worry. Worry. What are you worried about today? How long the sermon's going to be? Finances, employment, relationships, possibly a sickness or a surgery that you or a spouse is facing. You know, worrying is an emotion that consumes us on a daily basis. There's always something to be worried about. Always. Seems like when one worry finally comes to an end, there's something that else we worry about. Almost as if it knew just the right time to show its worrying face to us. It can almost become as if we start to expect something to consume our time and emotions with worry. Don't worry about a thing. There was a Bob Marley song that came out a few years ago. Don't worry about a thing, because everything's going to be all right. Singing, don't worry about a thing, because everything's going to be all right. Rise up this morning smiling with the rising sun. Three little birds pitch by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of melodies pure and true, saying, this is my message to you. Don't worry about a thing. I think that goes back to maybe something we read over the last few weeks about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how God cares for them, how God meets every need they have. Another verse it talks about, again, the three little birds singing sweet songs. And I arrived this morning about 8:30, and I got out of my car, and I was walking into the church, and there were birds chirping, singing. Don't worry about a thing. This might be one of the hardest things that we face. When someone tells us not to worry, we begin to worry. And then we get worried that we're worried, which makes us worry more. When we talk about worry, we're referring to that irrational, purpose-lacking, unhelpful stream of thoughts that plagues us rather than protects us, that hinders us rather than helps us. God, in the middle of the night, keeps people up sometimes with our thoughts of worry, sparking our curiosity of what the next day might be like. There's scriptures in the Bible that we read about in which God, through these acts of faithfulness towards God, about not worrying so much, that God wakes them up in the middle of the night and meets them in the next day. The scripture I read from today, the Genesis 1:1-31, is from the beginning of creation of all things. In the beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth and the sea monsters and the sky and the night and the sun and the moon. And God went on through all of these different days in his and created all things in his image and cared for them in love. Eventually, he created man and woman and provided for them and all their needs in God's love for humankind. And so how can we live into this love that God started from the beginning of time that was shown through the scriptures and all the way through the way in which Jesus showed us the example of love in his life? How can we trust God that God will provide and we don't have to sit and worry about a thing? That God knows our every need before we ask. Now I realize life is a wild ride. Life is uncertain. Worry will come to us. But in this scripture, I think God is saying, I got you. And you got this. You don't have to worry. I'm the creator and the sustainer of all things. He's put everything for us that we might need. God's not telling us to just ignore it, our worry. God gave us this brain as well. And sometimes we put ourselves in dangerous spots and unhealthy things. But the knowledge that God knows and cares for us can sustain us through our times of uncertainty and fear. God's telling us to have a confidence that God will provide all that we need to get through each day. And when our treasures is in God, then the other things fall right into place. A place beneath God in our allegiance and our attention to God above all things. We're called to drop an anchor in the good news of God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that Christ lived and he died and he rose again. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is with us today. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so as bad as something may be going in your life and in my life, there's joy in something greater than any trial or any persecution or any hardship or any sickness that we might be facing. In the end, our worry will hurt us more than it will help us. It'll take the joy out of our life. And instead of having an attitude of gratitude for the many ways in which God is abundant and alive in our life, we might be focused on scarcity, the things that are hindering us, that are taking us from the steps of freedom in Jesus, from experiencing the peace and the joy and the everlasting faith that God will win in the end and in God's love from the beginning of time to the end of time. And so we're invited to constantly put our joy and peace in the things of this world. We're called to invest in things that aren't safe. We're called to put our happiness in things that are here today and gone tomorrow. And we see it all the time, that somehow the temporal things will be everlasting, but we know that's not true. So might we believe in the greater story of God? A story that you do not have to think your way into. It's something you arrive. It's not something you arrive at logically. It's something that you trust in, that you have faith in. Paul says that God's peace passes all understanding. And when we turn to God in prayer and faith, God will guard our heart and protect it from whatever temporal, unlogical thing that the world can throw at us. And so I invite you to tell God what you need today, that you might leave your worrying at the door as you leave this place today and know that God has everything in control, that you might receive the peace that passes all understanding, that you might know that God has done more for you than you could ever dream or imagine, and that God wants you to have gratitude in your heart. Ridding your life of worry is not a matter of reducing stress, but of increasing our trust in God. That God cares for you, that God walks with you in the midst of all that life throws at you and at me. So what are the things? Think about them. What are the things that are hindering your relationship with God and experiencing the blessings that surround you? What is it that's sucking the joy out of your life today? Turn them over to God. Rejoice. And if the first time it doesn't take again, Paul says, rejoice. That worrying will not add a minute to your life. Worry doesn't gain us anything. It doesn't solve our problems. But trusting in God will allow you to embrace the time that God has given us here and now. That every day is a gift. In so much the way that our greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbors. Jesus says our greatest pursuit should be after God's kingdom, after God's righteousness. And as we learn to do this, we'll put less stock in the treasures of this world and more stock in the treasures of God. Through which we find freedom and purpose as we live our life today. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your scripture for today. We thank you for the ways in which you created all things in your image and in your likeness, and how you created us that we might have joy and freedom. Live in the way in which you have called us to live, and Jesus Christ, who is our example. And so, God, may we not live our lives full of worry, but may we embrace gratitude and goodness and freedom that you have given us today. May we share that goodness, the freedom with others around us. As we live our lives, as we embrace your grace and your love that you have for us today and always. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.